Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. It's early in the week, and I've got Andy Shea back with me. Andy, how are we doing after a long break?
Mahalo, Jimmy. How are you?
guess where Andy was?
Andy was in California and Hawaii for the better part of 3 weeks. I left just before the Oregon game. I left early in the week before the Oregon game. I get back home just before the Northwestern game. And now the house of cards crumbled in a matter of one trip. But yeah, let's talk about it. I mean, Penn State fired James Franklin.
Andy, you know what? I don't think you realize the power that you had, the power and influence you had with this program. You leave for a couple weeks, and the program goes to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it has absolutely nothing to do with me and everything to do with that. They lost 3 straight games. And, okay, Oregon's a tough loss, right? UCLA is an embarrassing loss, right? Northwestern is like, what in the world is going on now, loss? Because, you know, from a couple friends that I – Penn State fan friends I have in the stadium, even when they went up, right? Like, even when they went up, right now, the way it feels, and he said it felt like this in the stadium, there's no way we can stop them and hold this lead. Like, that was the feeling in the stadium. They said it was pervasive. Like, okay, great, we got the lead, but oh my gosh, there's no way we can hold on. What they knew, like the fans knew what the level and of sort of talent versus performance dysfunction it had become. And Bob Kraft was like, that's it. I know where I'm going. I'm pulling the trigger. I think I know where this problem lies. I don't feel this is a reactionary firing by Kraft. In other words, like, well, we've lost 3 straight games, and I don't feel that. I don't feel that one bit. I don't feel he's a reactionary guy. I feel he's one of those, like, he has to be convicted and in his mind understand that I know exactly where this problem is and I'm pulling the trigger, especially to pull it this fast, Jimmy. I mean, I talked to somebody and I said, if James is the coach on Tuesday, it would be a little bit of a surprise. I said, I think he gets fired on Monday. It didn't even last till Monday.
Yeah, it is crazy how fast it went. And I kind of want to go through this process, Andy, because I think with Pat Kraft, his hand was forced, okay? I think he had no choice.
Yeah.
And it's, you don't want to bow down to the wishes of the masses, okay? But, with this tidal wave, I just don't know whether it was right or wrong as far as making the right decision as a football coach. It felt to me like a decision that just plain had to be made, because how could James Franklin continue with this kind of feeling around the program?
There is that. I 100% agree with you, but I also want to say Pat is not a guy that is going to let outside influences tell him what to do. I feel he's a guy that would, if he felt it was a fight worth fighting for, and he thought, well, they might think they know, but they really don't know. I think it was a combination of both. Pat's like, I know where the buck stops here, and I know what the central function of the problem is. And he had the outside influences. I 100% agree with you, but I also think he just strikes me as the kind of guy, hey, if he was convicted it's a fight worth fighting, he would dig in and he would have that fight. That's the kind of athletic director he has been at Penn State and he was at Boston College. And the way he has sort of helped build and ascend the football program at Penn State clearly tells me that. But yeah, this was not a fight worth fighting on this front, because I think he knew deep down, he's like, I can identify the problem. And everything outside, including the money and the fan base and the sort of, you know, where the program is right now, it all pointed him in the same direction. So it was a relatively easy decision, probably, in the end.
Well, and we'll get to the buyout in a bit here, Andy. But I think to really clarify what I'm trying to express, because I don't think I did it very well, is Bill Parcells, I think it was, who said, if you start listening to the crowd, you'll soon be sitting with them.
Sure.
And I think this is the crowd speaking, but the crowd speaking was so loud, okay? And in the college program, when the crowd speaks, you could also use something, you could express it differently. That also means the donors are speaking.
Okay? Yeah, I was going to say, the crowd and money are kind of the same thing. They're different, but the crowd, the money, and Pat all see and hear and see the same thing. That's enough of a trifecta. That's plenty of a trifecta.
Yeah, the money is a subset of the crowd, right? Okay? And they reached the circumstances heading here, Andy. It was such a confluence of different factors that led us here. It was after so many years, you've heard, you know, the big game James mockery. Right. You know, of his inability to win the big games. And they put themselves in a position this season where James even said everything was aligned. He had everything above him, the AD, the president, the board, aligned the way he wanted. What really told me he had everything going the direction he wanted was last year, or last offseason, was when there was a bidding war for what many people thought was the best defensive coordinator in the country. Penn State outbid everybody else. And did you ever think you'd see the day where Penn State outbids everybody else for a guy who was wanted as much as that guy?
That, Jimmy, well, the answer to that is no, but they did it. And secondly, what they spent on roster retention and the amount of it, resources invested in that, which was, you know, it was built for success at the very highest level. But it wasn't built for this, right? It was not built to fall at this level either. And that's what has to, I think, strike Pat so, you know, cut Pat so deep, is when you have, if you were to put in a box, you say there's 10 things you need to be a team that is considered competitive for a national title. Penn State had at least 9 of them, right? Like 9 of the things they put in place in that, for example. For you to have a tough loss, okay, it's a tough loss, an unexplainable loss, and then what is going on loss in back-to-back-to-back weeks, it tells me simply that the person who got exactly what he wanted can only envision and wish for what he wants. He doesn't know how to sort of manage and drive what he wants. Because it's clear to me that there's many strengths that James has, and as I was talking to you earlier, I said I liked it in a car reference, and I'm going to use it. He's a very good driver of a 4-cylinder. He can drive a V6 even with a turbo on it. Not bad. He can drive that. This is not either one of those. This is a V8. This is a full metal jacket beast that Pat built, because that's what James wanted. And at the end of the day, it even started with the first 3 games. He couldn't drive it. He can't drive this big of a machine. And that has been proven out. They might be 3-3, Jimmy, but really, football-wise, they're a team that hasn't really won a game. Because the first 3 games were not against anything remotely close to level competition. So it is an abject failure on many, many, many fronts. And it should land at his feet. And, you know, I think it was bold of Pat to fire him right out of the gate. Like, I am not going to mess around with this.
Well, a couple things, Andy. First of all, it's fascinating that you use the auto analogy, the car analogy. Your sub last week was Andrew Calista, and he mentioned, have you ever seen the movie Pretty Woman?
Julia Roberts.
Okay. I wasn't sure at first when you said duh, if that means it's a chick flick. So obviously did not.
Yeah, hundreds of times.
If you had seen it. And do you remember the scene early in the movie where Richard Gere, because the limo wasn't available, he gets into his lawyer's vehicle, like a Lamborghini sports car with a stick shift.
Yellow Lamborghini with a stick shift. Tell me I don't know the movie.
Okay. And he was not able to drive it. And Andrew Calista used that analogy to say, that's what this team feels like, how they're performing, like that. It's a Lamborghini, but the guy driving it doesn't know how to drive it.
That's exactly, Andrew Calista and I are saying the exact same thing. That in a very short period of time, six games in a matter of half a season, James sort of proved he cannot drive this.
Well, Andy, I'm going to see. I have too much Andy, Andrew. I get confused easily here, Andy. So, I'm going when we come back, because we're in the last minute before we have to go to a hard break. Here is, I want to understand better exactly what it means that he can't drive a stick shift. And, you know, you've heard that about different coaches where it's like, okay, he's coached a underdog team and was able to coach those kind of players to overachieve. But I don't feel like that's a perfect analogy for James Franklin, because he's had some really good teams that he's coached pretty well. So what I'm going to ask you to explain, Andy, after the break is, how exactly does a coach who's normally a good coach, but he's put into that 8-cylinder or Lamborghini, and all of a sudden he forgets how to coach? You know what I mean? I need to understand exactly what that means. We are going to get your explanation of that, Andy, when we come back, right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. Believe it or not, he's back. The prodigal son, Andy Shea, giving me that like Hawaiian sign. With the thumb and little finger out, what does that mean, Andy?
It's all well, bro. All good.
Okay. You also got like the surfer guy talk.
Hang loose. I might have spent day after day after day on beaches.
Well, not to get a sidetrack, because it's a big news day with Penn State football, but you sent me a couple pictures and videos of you golfing, what the scenery was like.
Incredible.
Andy, I am so surprised you came back.
Yeah, well, that was our sort of a, you know, it was a landmark thing where my wife and I were celebrating our 30th anniversary and her retirement sort of with that trip. And yeah, we're already booked to go back next year.
Oh, that's fantastic. And by the way, just to let the folks know, I know Mrs. Andy Shea, and you know the cliche about outkicking your coverage.
Amen.
Andy Shea outkicked his coverage. Okay. Yes. Just
by a mile.
I think it's very obvious to those of us who know Maureen. So let's get back to Penn State football, Andy. And you gave the analogy of, you know, James Franklin coaching this team that now, you know, he can handle a 4 and 6 cylinder, but the 8 cylinder, or probably the better analogy, it's like he's trying to, you know, drive the Lamborghini with the stick shift and it's not working. I help me out, because I don't understand how that happens. And again, I do kind of get, like, there are certain, you know, you see how Wisconsin always had their teams, you know, they run the ball, they get the big farmer kids on the offensive line and they'll grind you out, and that's the way they play. And if you had given them if you had given Barry Alvarez great receivers and a great quarterback, he wouldn't know what to do with them. Okay.
Right.
I understand that kind of concept, but I'm not sure I understand it here with James Franklin, because he's had some pretty good teams, some pretty good talent. And there isn't that culture clash where, hey, he's, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of coach. And he was given, you know, all these 5-star receivers and quarterbacks. So it's not like that. So what is it about this team that James Franklin struggled with?
So this team was built at the next level, Jimmy, and it happened fast, right? Like, this isn't something kind of that, you know, Pat, there were certain things that James was going after for the program and the bigger picture. But once his team made a playoff run last year and got to where they got, like, very close to being in the national title game and playing in the national semifinal, once they got there, it clearly became a pivot point for the university. Were they going to go all in, or were they just going to be happy with that 1 year success and try and replicate it? They went in the, we're going all in direction. There's money involved with this, but football wise, what I mean is, You've got coordinators now that you've hired. You won a bidding war for a coordinator, right? You went and got somebody special, and you got to make sure that gets put in place. At the end of the day, it is, can you take what is essentially a pressure cooker and an all-star, a little bit of an all-star team, right? Like, a lot of individual talent. And this is what I think the missing ingredient is. Can you pull that together with all the pieces that he got, and Penn State being the all-in team? It was his responsibility to establish an identity for Penn State and this team right out of the gate. That's what his job, in my opinion, was, to take all of that was assembled. He helped assemble some of it. Pat did a very large part of it by providing the resources. All of that was assembled, now you have to make sure you clearly give it an identity so that they understand what their identity is and who they are. And then you just go out and you drive it week after week after week. And from the very beginning of the season, first game was like, okay. But by the second game, halftime of the second game, I think that was the FIU game. Am I correct, Jimmy?
Yes.
You know, you kind of had your head cocked sideways. You're like, okay, now this is 6 quarters. What the heck is going on? As I watched the first 3 games, then I watched into the Oregon game. I watched the Oregon game in Hawaii, by the way, at like noon, which was really cool.
Just keep rubbing that Hawaii thing in, Andy, okay? So, all of us appreciate it. I think I'm speaking for our listeners also, but go ahead.
But I'll just say, as you're watching that game, you're like, who is Penn? What? Who? 12 quarters against no-name teams, a full half of the Oregon game. I'm like, I said to my buddy who I was there with and his wife, and I said, he's an Oregon fan and Oregon grad. And I'm like, Oregon will win this game because I have no idea who Penn State is. I have no idea what this semblance of high-end talent and deep roster is, because they're not able to convey it to us through their play, right? You, the fan, you don't know what's their identity as a football team, right? Like, what? You've got all these quarters to establish it. So in the end, what I mean by he couldn't drive it, he knew what he wanted, he knew what took to build it, but he couldn't give it the identity so that it could be driven. They just had no idea who they are and what they are. And that is a core value problem for any team. It doesn't matter whether you're bereft of talent or you're loaded with talent. If you aren't comfortable in your own skin and don't know exactly who you are and what you're doing and where you're pointing your pistol downrange if you're firing at a target, you're aimless. And they play a lot of aimless football, and it has just continued to carry over. That's why the bad loss became an embarrassing loss, because they're like, okay, not only are we not sure of who we are and where we're going and what we're doing, now we've lost a game. Now we have to go out to the West Coast and we really have no idea who we are. And it just snowballs. That's why Pat had to do this. You have to stop it immediately.
I do want to get back to Pat Kraft's decision, and we'll get there. But I want to talk more about it. I think your explanation is a good one. This team seemed to be grasping for an identity. So being away for 3 weeks, you know, surfing in Hawaii, laying around on the beach, it didn't remove the brain from you. So that's good to know, Andy. You're still as sharp as ever. I like that. But I still have to wonder, though, you know, trying to go even a little bit deeper, let's start with the offensive side of the ball and finding an identity. And the loss of Tyler Warren is huge. I get it. He was a special, unique player. He was. But with that said, you were bringing back essentially your entire offensive line, your quarterback, your All-American running backs, plural.
Right.
You went out and to the portal and really cherry-picked wide receivers, brought in three, what you thought were three good ones. The only place, the only negative on the entire offense was tight end. And the fact is you have three pretty good tight ends. They may not be Tyler Warren, but they're good. So, and you're returning your offensive coordinator for his second year. So you would assume having that coordinator back for a second year with a returning starting quarterback who had a pretty nice season last year. You could point to the couple games that they lost where he didn't play well. But beyond that, he played pretty well. You have so many things back. The returning coordinator, how, Andy, could you, I'll say, lose your identity because you're bringing everyone back?
So your hindsight's a great thing, right? So we're going to do this from a hindsight perspective. Tyler Warren covered up the hidden sin of this offense last year because he was that guy, right? He was their leader. And a leader doesn't always have to be a vocal, come follow me, I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to check in with every room. Tyler Warren was more of a, I'm just going to play and do what I do. And are you going to follow me, or are you going to try and be at my level, or are you going to try and be like me, right? Like, his play and just watching him inspired you to be like, wow, that guy's really good. I'm going to watch that guy. I want to be like that guy. More tight ends like that guy. Can't watch enough of them. He kind of covered that up just being the superstar that he was. And I don't think he was like a quote-unquote vocal leader. I think he was a follow-me player leader, right? Like, are you going to want to all be better? Because I can't do this alone, right? And they followed him. Well, they lost him, and now they don't. Now they didn't know who to follow. And part of that is blame on the coaching staff. That's full blame on the coaching staff, because it's their job to instill in the players that they understand what their core identity is as an offensive unit. You had all these pieces back. Like, and I can understand it, and I can see it from a player's perspective. Offensive line is struggling, not performing as well. They're kind of looking around going, what's our identity? Who are we following? Right? Like, you know, the quarterback's not a leader. That's just a fact. The quarterback's not a natural leader. Okay, well, where's it coming from? Nick Singleton can't get out of second gear, right? Like, running between the tackles and stuck in second gear. It's just they got three new wide receivers. They're all new jacks in the room, in the locker room. They're not the ones. They're certainly not going to step in and say, hey, follow me, because ain't nobody going to follow them. You know what I mean? There were a good number of pieces where they're all kind of looking around going, who are we following here and what are we doing? And there was no answer for that. That's just the way I saw it, was they're sort of lost in their own flood of talent.
Andy, you know, your explanation makes sense in that the end result is what you're talking about.
Right.
But I'm still struggling with every team. Curtis Rourke and what he meant to Indiana last year at quarterback.
Correct.
Is more than what any tight end could mean to any team. He was gone and Indiana hasn't lost a step. Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback at Oregon, who was, you know, the straw that stirred the drink a year ago. Yes, I know they lost to Indiana on Saturday, but that's still a really good Oregon team. You know, you could go to Ohio State. It's the nature of college sports where players graduate and move on. Correct. And it's your best players who move on, and you have to deal with that. The question is, how much talent do you have left? And when we come back, Andy, I'm going to point out how much talent was left on this team right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. It's quarter number three, which means it's time for that. No. It's not. Later this week, we'll get Andy back again. We'll get your questions. We'll ask Andy then. Now, Andy is all mine. And Andy, we were talking about what they lost.
And Penn State fired James Franklin.
Yes. They did.
Today,
and
on Sunday.
You know, I'm trying to do the autopsy here. How did we get here? You know, what was the cause of death? And, you know, we're talking about how this team hasn't found an identity. And we started with the offensive side of the ball. And it's just hard for me to accept. Yes, they lost Tyler Warren, but essentially they did better at wide receiver. They have better wide receivers now. The offensive line, by the way, before the season started, Andy, we had a conversation.
They were number
ranking
one on
the
list.
Position groups. Why? I don't think that offensive line needs Tyler Warren there for them to perform. And they're not performing, Andy. And it just seemed to – it goes from there to a quarterback who lost all his confidence, and he's now out for the season. But he wasn't there. We have Nick Singleton stuck in first gear. Andy, I'm still having trouble understanding it.
So one thing you have to look at this from the perspective, Jimmy, as a fan, and I want to tell you, this is a little inside football thing. you don't pick up per se where you left off. Individual players, you can look for that occasionally, right? Like, but there, it's pretty rare that you do that. Penn State was a national semifinalist that came very close to going to the college football playoff championship. And Penn State fans, and rightly so, they went all in during the offseason to go from there and pick up that mantle and go from there, right? And compete for a national championship this year. But football-wise, each season, when you start at zero, Jimmy, you're back to square one. No matter how much talent you have and how many you guys bring back, okay, you bring guys back and it's easier. But one team is not the same as the other. One year is not the same as the other. At the same time, that also explains how guys in the transitional nature of college football and the NFL, frankly. Each, you hear guys say it like, yeah, we're starting over. We might have won the Super Bowl last year, but we have to start over.
Well, let's,
and I'm not sure from the leadership and the top that Penn State went back to the drawing room and started over.
Let me ask you a question, Andy, on the defensive side of the ball, because we know new defensive coordinator came in, Jim Knowles.
Yep.
Again, this is hindsight. Do you think for continuity's sake, if they had promoted, you know, Terry Smith or Anthony Poindexter to become defensive coordinator, things they might have not have struggled as much?
Good $64,000 question. My answer, my gut instinct is probably they wouldn't have struggled this much, because Jim has a proven way of coordinating a defense that wins at the highest levels. So naturally, he's going to do it the way he knows and the way that has been successful. So if you'd have brought in an Anthony or a Terry Smith, it might not have been quite this bad. But remember, we pointed this out in our preseason stuff, that when we were talking about the 2025 team, this defense could still be pretty darn good, but it certainly had more holes and had more questions it needed answered than any team in the past 3 years. So, and clearly at UCLA, it was exposed as being just as lost as the offense per se. It really didn't know who it was or what it was or what it was doing. And Jim probably complicated that. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that. Jim definitely probably complicated that, because his terminology and they might have known X, Y, and Z to mean this before. It still kind of might mean X, Y, and Z, but under Jim, it's going to mean something different. So it is a lot. There is a bit of a learning curve, but not to look like that at the Rose Bowl. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah, there was no excuse, and that's why we are where we are today. You know, all of that built up. I want to circle back to the decision, and we've put this on Pat Kraft. Pat Kraft decided. Andy, was this Pat Kraft's decision, or was it above him?
No, I think this was Pat's. That's just my two cents. Pat's a very strong – he's not a very boisterous guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's a very convicted man in a – relatively quiet way. Like, he's a strong personality without being a loud personality. Does that make sense to you, Jimmy? So I think he was the one given the keys to put this and build this in place. Now, his neck is on the chopping block a little bit as well, because he's partly responsible for the overall success of this program. That's a decision at another level, and I don't think his job is in jeopardy at all. But I think there was enough questions from outside sources in the right places. Does that make sense? In other words, the right people are asking him the right questions that he doesn't have the answers to put him in a position to know exactly the decision he needed to make. I think he was the one. I think he made the call to the president and said he was going to do this, and this is what he wanted to do, not the other way around, for example.
Well,
that's just my thought.
I think there had to be I'm not sure had to be is the right word, but I think there was consensus.
I agree.
That, you know, these are people who, as Jane Franklin always put, there's an alignment now, okay? Correct. And when he said alignment, I always thought the translation of that was, these are people who support me.
Correct.
Okay. And I think Pat Kraft did. I think the president did. He talked about the head of the board of trustees, and he had the support from the board. I suspect the board, the president, the AD, and some substantial donors.
The money. Just call it the money.
The money. You're right. That's a better way of putting it. The money said it's time.
And the fan base said it's time. All of them. It's all in place. It was all the noise was all the same, Jimmy. It was all the same. It was consistent. It was relative, and the performance warranted it.
There was nobody in a position of power saying, no, 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 we've got to keep him as the coach. My question to you, though, Andy, is where do you think James stands on all this? And by the way, in the timing of as we're recording this, no word has leaked, at least that I've seen, about how the buyout worked. Did they pay him the whole thing or not?
Yeah.
How that worked? And you know, there could be some different factors in this, Andy, not just, hey, is it the full amount? Is it if he gets another job, does that carve out from the payout? You know, what he gets paid if he takes another job?
Right.
So there's all those other things going on that are part of this. But I've got to feel like there had to be a consensus, and especially if, you know, we're calling it Pat Kraft's decision. If this isn't just, okay, we got to pay him either straight out $56 million or over the length of what was his contract, the $56 million, you've now got to go spend on the next coach, okay? And it's not just James, but if, you know, the staff and there's a lot that goes into this, Andy. So you really had to have, I'm sure, consensus. And as you put it, you had to have the money behind this also.
As fast as this happened, I think the money was not a pliable decision maker. In other words, it wasn't something they had to wrestle with, right? It was like, either we can do this or we can't. Yeah, we can do this. That's the money talking. If you want to do this, we can do this. End of story. That's it. Either we can do this or we are not financially in a position to do this. We know Penn State's in a position to do this, right? You and I both know that. It was whether or not the extra money, the money as we say, the sort of the deeper of the deep pockets, were they in and say, well, if we do this, it might require a little more, one more notch deeper from you. No problem. So that wasn't a stumbling block, I don't feel, in any way, shape, or form, especially for it to happen this fast. In other words, probably Pat has already probably since the end of since last Sunday, maybe in a week, Pat's been probably floating some trial balloons out there and taking temperature in some rooms. Because, Jimmy, this happened fast. I mean, that game ended at, what, 7 o'clock last night on Saturday night. And by
Sunday afternoon, he's gone.
Sunday afternoon, he's fired. So that, you know, Pat's obviously had spent some time this week working and doing his due diligence and putting his trial balloons in place. Not expecting yesterday to happen, but maybe for down the road in case something like if it continued to go this. And it literally fell off the map yesterday. That was just an awful two-way performance all around.
Do you think James was fighting for his job, or do you think he's relieved right now?
I think James would always fight for James. And I don't say that because he's like that arrogant. I say it's just his personality. I don't think there was anything to fight for because he was given everything he asked for. There's I gave you everything you asked for, and you can't drive my yellow Lamborghini with a stick shift. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take you out of the driver's seat. That's it. I don't think he had a leg to stand on. What's he going to stand on to fight? Well, I've won 10 games, and we played for a national championship last year. Right. You're 3-3 right now with a roster built to be, 5-1 or 6-0. 5-1 at the very, 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 very worst. So I don't think he had much. I don't think he had much to fight on, to be honest with you.
I'm curious to see just how much fight is actually left in him. And I wonder if this is a relief to him to move on. This has got to be hell for him these last 3 weeks.
Yeah, him and his family. Yeah.
And it's got to be just awful. All right, Andy, when we come back, we're going to look ahead. What's next for this program after this break?
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Andy. It's quarter number four of our show. Andy, big, big news week for Penn State football. James Franklin relieved of his duties, fired. And he was fired. Yeah, I have the announcement in front of me, and I'm not going to read it, but it's so funny how Penn State announces change in football leadership. Okay, yeah. That's the headline, and as you go through, Penn State owes an enormous amount of gratitude to Coach Franklin. Who rebuilt our football program, blah, blah, blah.
He did, and yeah. He's responsible for that. Don't forget it.
He did a lot of good things.
Endings are always ugly, Jimmy. Endings, never forget. Endings are always ugly. We remember the end, but don't forget the beginning, the middle, and towards the end.
To me, earlier when we were talking, Andy, before we got on the air, I used the analogy to a divorce. And I don't think there's any great divorce, no matter how great the two people are. Sure. It, as you pointed out, it ends ugly. So now it's interim coach Terry Smith.
I love that guy. You know me. I'm when you ask me who my favorite assistant coach is, you've asked me for the last decade that we've been doing this, who's your favorite assistant? Who do you like the most? I'm like, I'm a Terry guy. I'm a Terry guy. I'm a Terry guy.
Andy Shea is the Terry Smith as Jim is the Manny Diaz. So
yeah.
That's the way it is. Does Terry Smith have a chance of getting the job full time?
Well, I don't know. This is all I do know, that I have intimate experience when he was a head coach in high school, watching him. Just from the first time I saw him coach a high school team in person, I was like, man, that guy's a really good football coach, right? Like, I have to recognize that first. Like, okay, I kind of like the guy because, I got to interview him and talk to him, and I'm like, wow, this is a pretty cool guy. I answered all the questions and thoughtful answers, and he was, it's not very often when you talk to a football coach as a reporter where you're like, oh, that guy kind of surprised me a little bit. He went a little deep, and he answered my questions. He struck me that way, just a great human being. And as I watched him more critically, I'm like, Boy, I really like that. Not only do I think he's a really good football coach, no matter what position he's coaching, just pick one. But I'm like, he's a really good, now this is high school, but I'm like, he's better than most at his job, almost better than anybody else I know in the state of Pennsylvania at that time. I'm like, I'm not sure many do it better than him. So does he have head coaching experience at this level? No, but is he the right guy for Penn State? He's going to get six games to prove what he is as a sort of front man, but he's got some things going for him. A, he's a Penn State guy. B, he's a Joe Paterno Penn State guy. I don't know whether it's B or A or B, but they're the same to me. He's really good at what he does. He's really good at talent development. And he is a, on the recruiting trail, he's what I would call, what I call a relatable ace card for any head coach. Like, he's your ace card. He's bringing that guy in a room and the room changes. That's just the kind of person that he is. He's very low key and very soft spoken and very thoughtful. But I mean, look, he's inheriting a mess. He's inheriting a talented mess. And his first job this week will be to put a Band-Aid on the open wound for the players and to hand some ownership of the responsibility of figuring out the identity for them and what they want to be going forward to them. It's not up to the new coaching staff. There's no time for that. You have to hand it to the players and say, show me what you want to be. Tell me who you want to be. And we'll do everything we can to make sure that happens for you. Whether we have an elite $3 million or whatever they paid for him, defensive coordinator, and a guy like Andy Kotelnicki coordinating the offense, that's irrelevant. You're going to tell us how we're going to do this. And I suspect that's what he'll do, because there obviously is no time to put any of that in place. And now it's up to the players. They're going to have a say in what kind of job Terry Smith does more than anything, because of the nature of a hiring, firing in the middle of a sort of dumpster fire of a season that he's going to inherit.
You know, Andy, I spent a lot of time defending James Franklin over the past several years and even into this season, partly with the idea of, do you really want to change horses here? Because there's a lot that goes into that now.
Correct.
You essentially lose your recruiting class or classes, 26 yeah. and 27. The players just fleeing the ship through the transfer portal because you have a new head coach who will bring in all of his own people. Now, you mitigate a lot of that if you would hire internally.
Terry.
If you brought Terry in and he made him the full-time yeah. coach, yeah. all these other guys that you position coaches that you think, you know, Ty Howell at tight end with ties to Penn State, the offensive line coach, Anthony Poindexter with the safeties, Dan Connor with the linebackers, there are things, you know, can you bring those people back? I had the opportunity to interview a class of 26 quarterback, Troy Hunt from California. Yes, he sang James Franklin's praises, but he was equally complimentary of Danny O'Brien, correct. The quarterback coach. And if you would bring in someone internally, you have a chance at some continuity and retention of some of the talent. Now, the counter argument to that, Andy, is, it's time to clean house. We want a new head guy bringing in completely new staff. We want a complete and total changeover. What do you think Pat Kraft is thinking in those terms right now?
I don't think he's thinking in those terms right now, to be honest with you, Jimmy, because he's got a dumpster fire on his hands. But thinking along those terms, this is where – and Pat didn't do it a good number of athletic directors will get rid of a coach because, particularly a football coach, because they want their guy, right? And Pat doesn't strike me as one of an athletic director. He's not an athletic director that simply does this to get his guy. He would But he's going to have an opportunity to do that now. He gets an opportunity in his likeness and image to make a hire and hires. And it is, it will be, you know, obviously there'll be some input money. Again, there will be some input from around it, board of trustees, university president, et cetera. Fan base, what do they think? He listens to the fan base. That's one thing I like about Pat. He actually hears them. Like, he doesn't just listen. He actually hears them. And I think Penn State fans recognize that. But he will hear and listen to everything, and then he gets to decide in his, as the athletic director of Penn State, how do I want this to look in my image and likeness? In other words, what does my guy look like? And he gets to decide that. Is it a clean slate, wipe it out and build it from the bottom up and start with something new, fresh? Yeah. Look, it's not going to, Penn State fans, it's not going to be somebody that he's going to hire to be a 20-year coach or 15-year coach or 10-year. That's just not the way it is in the modern game. That's not the way it goes. He's looking for something. And the question will be answered over the course of six games. Does Terry have any of those elements that he's looking for? Because Pat already knows what he wants, right? Because he's proven that he's really smart because he knew how to build this. So he also knows what it takes to drive it. Does Terry have any of the elements or enough of them that he thinks he can drive this? That's the question.
You know, Andy, whenever, and we've gotten this question probably in the entire 10 years that we've been doing this job about who the next coach should be, would be, yep. who we would want. And I'll be honest, I never thought about an internal coach. And it's in conversations I've had today when I start hearing some of those other names that I've begun to talk myself into it for Terry. A lot of those reasons that, yeah, I've talked about before. You know, Terry Smith, he's already respected by the players. At least that's the word I get. You know, the ability to retain much of the staff, which I think is also very good. But I also wonder if there'll be pressure on Pat Kraft to go outside and get that big name, because we've got to prove we're elite. And let me just read a quote from Pat Kraft. I am confident in our future and in our ability to attract elite candidates to lead our program. You know, is he going to feel the pressure to get an elite big name? I'm getting people who are sending me notes, Andy, like crazy. Okay, in the last 24, 36 hours, get Urban Meyer, get Nick Saban, get, you know, all these big names. And, you know, my feeling is always, I don't want the last Nick Saban. I want the next Nick Saban, Andy.
You got 24 quarters to see if Terry's got it, right? Pat will know. Pat will know. We'll know. You and I will see it. We'll know a little bit, maybe not a lot. Pat will see it better. Because I think he's that good at his job. And I think he gets inside. I don't think he has to make a decision. I think he's in a very strong position. Is he named the right guy as the interim, and he named him for a reason. And now he gets to, essentially he gets to window shopping. This is Terry's audition. Are you the guy? He has a lot of the elements that the fan base will want, that the money will like. And don't forget, at its core, and this is one of the last things I want to say, Jimmy, don't forget, in 2025 and going forward, a head football coach at the college level, at Penn State's level, and this type of money being spent in the program, the one greatest asset that the head coach needs to have and be is a people person. It was sort of, inside the program, it was one of James' strengths. Outside, it was one of his weaknesses. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Terry is, at his core, Jimmy, a people person. That is who Terry is without being a football coach. That's Terry, the person. That's a very valuable asset for him to have in audition. Now, can he drive this V8?
We'll find out. And also, Andy, I'll tell you what, whoever it is, they got to be able to win. That $800 million renovation stadium, it's not going to pay for itself, Andy.
Amen.
All right. Hey, Andy, thank you for coming on early in the week. We'll do it again later in the week. Hopefully you all will join us then.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.